Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, Tony and I, we are going to talk about how we launched our course. And I remember when we first got started with this, Tony, I actually had to convince you, I had to twist your arm into actually getting started with this thing.
Well, interestingly enough, I actually left that little tidbit out of our talk outline for today so that you wouldn't bring that little fact up.
I don't go based on outlines. You know how I operate.
Yes, I know. Well, here's the thing. When I met you, you already had your other course. And I sort of, as I've gotten to know you, I've seen how much work that you put into what you do. And so for me, when you said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, are you interested? I felt like I had a pretty good understanding of the amount of work involved, or at least what I've seen from you. And so I was hesitant because I knew I was committing to, as you like to say, a lifetime of... because we're going to talk about this in the podcast, but there's a lot of different types of courses, and some courses are you just create the material and people go through it in 3 months and then you're done, right? And that's not what we did. And so I had to agree that I was going to do something that was going to last a really long time, and it wasn't just putting together 3 months worth of content or 6 months worth of content and then sort of just being okay and moving on.
Remember what I said to you exactly to get you to join? Do you remember?
No, actually, I'm afraid.
Okay. No, I said, okay, I'm going to do this course with or without you.
Yes.
Are you in?
Yes, I do remember that. You've said that to me a lot about things, so it all gets blurry, you know.
Well, sometimes you need a kick in the butt, and so that's sometimes I have to actually make a statement like
you
that,
you had to
right?
give me some FOMO. I'm going to do this without you. Wait, no, I want in. But, so this is funny because this is more about, because you were the one who had the idea for the course. I had been doing a blogging conference for years, and I felt like that was sort of the way that I was providing blogging education or content education for people. And I didn't necessarily feel like I needed to have another component to the conference that I was running. But for you, you were running a course about e-commerce. And so I guess this is the first question, or the first question for people should ask if they're thinking about starting a course, is how did you know that you wanted to do a second course, or for people to start a first course?
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I actually didn't really want to start this second course, but people were asking for stuff. I actually didn't even start I had no intention of starting my first course even, but people were asking for a course. And so in the case of this blogging class or the content creation class, what ended up happening is people were asking me how to sell digital products, how to sell courses, how to build a blog, how to build a following. And those skills they are a part of e-commerce per se, but that's like not the focus, obviously, of the e-commerce course. And so that's why I felt compelled to create another course.
And I think,
and I thought of you immediately because, I mean, this is what you do also.
Right. And I think too, I actually was thinking about Seller Summit, which is not a course, but it's an event that we've run. And when did we realize, or when did you realize that that was something that we needed to do? And one of the things that you've done, and I've done in the past too, I did this with my event, was send out an email to my current list and just get interest, right? Because I think if you have an audience already, or you're doing anything online, you're going to start getting feedback, and you should allow that feedback to sort of guide you into next steps. So if people are asking for something, there's no reason why you shouldn't create it. But I think a smart thing to do before you put in a lot of work is to possibly ask the people directly, right? I know for Seller Summit, when you were kind of on the fence of you really thought you wanted to do it, but you weren't sure. I don't know if you remember this, but you said, I'm going to send out an email. And if I get 1,000 people say they're interested, then we'll move forward. Do you remember that?
Yes. That landing page is still up, actually.
People are like, hey, what's going on? But yeah, so I think that's important to ask I think email's the best way to do it, right? Because you're going to get a better response. But putting it on social media, creating a Facebook poll, whatever, right, is to ask your current audience, hey, are you guys interested in something more? Because for us, and I think one of the reasons why you convinced me to do the blogging course was because you sent me a couple emails people had sent you that said, hey, I'm in your e-commerce course, but I really want to know about content creation. I really want to know about social media. Are you ever going to teach more specifically on those topics? And you're like, see, Tony, people are actually asking for this directly. It's not just me thinking that people want it.
I mean, there are emails that said, I will buy this right now.
Yes.
With nothing.
Which I think is motivating to get started when people say that.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's the first thing, is seeing what your audience is already telling you if you have an audience. If you don't have an audience at all, how would you decide?
It's a little bit more dangerous then. Yeah. What I would do maybe is just try to run some Facebook ads and see if there's interest and build a list that way.
Yeah.
And I mean, I actually, I know I have friends that do it this way, but I think the worst thing that you can do really is to create a course without having an audience or without understanding what the needs are.
Right. And the thing is, you can build an audience, whether you want to write content or do a YouTube channel or create a podcast, you can build that audience. And then over time, the audience is going to tell you what they really want. So to me, that makes the most sense, which is what you did and I did with this course already. I think the next step was once you tricked me into saying yes to the course.
Once I begged, you mean? Or gave you the ultimatum?
Once you gave me the ultimatum. This is where we began to agree to disagree, I think, on a lot of things. Because even though you and I are very similar in a lot of ways, how we operate at the business level, I think, is pretty different.
Yes. Very different.
To put it nicely. You wanted to launch with...
Nothing.
Yes, you wanted to launch with nothing, and that gave me severe anxiety, and I think we compromised on launching with, what, two modules?
Two modules, yeah.
Getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, the one thing I did want to do before we launched was I wanted an outline, which I think is important for people to do, and I don't think you were against doing an outline.
No, I'm not against it, but yeah. Actually... Let's take a step back here. Okay. I think you wanted like most of the course to be done before we launched, right?
I did.
Yeah.
And later on in this podcast, I will admit an error. So just everyone hang tight for that one.
If you do it that way, then you really don't know exactly what content that your audience wants exactly. And so you could be, and plus you might never even launch, right?
Right. So yeah. I see now that your idea was a good one.
And wow, we got this on recording. Amazing.
I know. This is going to be the number one downloaded podcast. Tony admitted Steve was right. but so we created this outline of the modules that we thought were important to cover when it came to creating content. That was like basically once we decided, yes, we're going to move forward with a course, the next thing we did was create that outline, which I think everyone should do. And what's nice about an outline is you're not actually committing.
Right.
We didn't build out a bunch of things. We just built out the topics, and then within the modules we came up with what we thought made sense in those modules. But we've changed those a ton even over the past year.
Yes. Yeah, I mean we have. I mean it's supposed to be like a living outline, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to create the content that your audience actually wants.
Yeah. So then the next, I think, so decide you want to do it, create the outline. The biggest question I think for most people is, what do you charge? And we get this question a lot too, like, why did we decide to charge what we charged? Why did we go with a one-time fee versus a subscription model or I don't know, there's probably other ways to do it too. Like a payment plan. We do have a payment plan, but I guess we don't have like a 12-month payment plan, right? It's basically pay it all or pay it in like two or three payments, I think.
I feel like you deferred to me on this one, right?
I did.
Yeah. I wasn't even sure exactly what your philosophy was on the time, because a lot of people will they'll charge monthly.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm a believer in lifetime access is because the success of my course basically depends on the students. So if you have students that are successful, then that's always going to lead to more sales of the course. And I know my personality, like if I'm paying monthly for something, what I'll end up doing is just downloading the material and just quitting right away. And when you do that, there's only so much you can learn just from watching videos. You really need interaction, and you really need to get your questions answered by human, because nothing is ever black and white. There's always gray areas when it comes to business. And so by offering a lifetime access for one lump sum, that will encourage people to take advantage of the support and stay until they're successful.
I agree. And I think from the customer side, that's an awesome value proposition, right? I think from the creator side, it's a little more daunting, right? Because we basically, I mean, how long have you been doing office hours for Profitable Online Store?
It's been 9 years now.
9 years. So 9 years every single week. That's a huge commitment to people and to the course. So I think that as on the creator side is a little bit overwhelming. However, if you're going to build courses and you're going to be delivering this content, you're basically committing to it anyway, right? Just not maybe in the exact same way. So the commitment really isn't much different.
I would argue that it's even more pressure if you charge monthly, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because at any point, like, people might be like, okay, this week, the content isn't relevant for me. Should I really stay on another month?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. So I don't think I had an opinion actually when we got started, because I never had sold like a course before. So I didn't, and I hadn't done a whole lot of research on what people were doing. I did know a lot about what people were charging. And that's where I think I had some pushback for you, is I felt like the price was really expensive for the fact that we didn't have anything created. That part was... Because basically
details,
you know, we pay all this money, we don't have anything for you. But I think that part made me nervous, because we were basically relying on people to trust us to deliver the content, which
I
trust me and I trust you, but my personality, that is a lot of external pressure to deliver, because I think you and I both, whenever we do anything, we want to go so far and above and beyond what people have expectations of, that thinking we're going to throw out this price. And I actually did a little research when we launched the course. We're the most expensive. We're about the same price as one other content course, right? And so that's like, to come into the market at like the high price point and then not have everything created, to me was like, you know, that's... That's how I felt.
So most of the other courses on the market were exactly how you described earlier. They just point you to a repository of videos, and it's self-paced, and that's that, right? Yeah. In my opinion, that's not the way I learn. You can get like the gist of things, but there's always going to be little details about your business that you're going to need to consult with somebody.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think what makes it really weird and interesting as a content type course, like we're teaching about how to create online content. I mean, think about this. When you and I started blogging, Twitter had just come onto the scene. Facebook didn't allow you to have pages. Pinterest didn't exist. Instagram didn't exist. Snapchat didn't exist. TikTok didn't exist, right? So, and all these other, Periscope, you know, that's not even around anymore. So all these platforms, when you and I got started, that weren't even, like, no one talked about those things because they weren't a thing. So when you're in a business where everything you're doing, it changes all the time, I think you have to create something that is living. Now, there are other things that I think you can teach and create. Maybe you want to create a course on how to make bread. You want to talk to people about how to, you know, do something like that. That never changes. Like, you make bread the same way all the time. Now, you can show different techniques and recipes and ideas, but you could make a bread course, right? And I actually know someone who did this. She made a bread course, and you could charge $49 for it, and it's a series of 12 videos, right, and recipes. And you don't need to have support for bread. So I think there are things you can create courses on where things don't change as quickly as they do in maybe the digital marketing space.
And although I might want support for bread. Well, I mean,
you get
I'm
an
sure
initial.
There's like subtleties to it, right?
Yes. But yeah. I think when she launched, like, she did have a Facebook group where people could go in and ask questions, but it wasn't like a weekly, like she doesn't get on weekly and teach another lesson on
sure,
bread.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I think when people are thinking about creating some sort of course, there are topics that I think have to be living. So whether you decide to do a one-time fee, but you have, you know, weekly updates, or you do a membership type program where you're coming in and doing training every month, I think there's those types of courses. But there's a lot of courses that you can build that don't need to be updated very often.
I also believe that you should always try to target the high end. And this is just something that's really counterintuitive that I learned from running the other class, is that the more that you charge, the better students that you'll get. In the beginning, the course, my other course, was priced super low in the beginning. And I remember that a lot of those initial people who paid that low amount, they were very high maintenance, and they weren't necessarily as serious as some of the people today who pay, you know, the full price. They're really into it. They're very committed to it. They're not going to give up.
I think that's the whole theory of, and there's people that talk about this, you shouldn't give things away for free, because when it's free, people don't care. And not that you should give your course away for free, but the higher the price point, the more invested people become in it, because they've shelled out, I mean, I don't know what price your other course is right now, but $1,500, $1,800. I mean, it's kind of like, what does Tony Robbins charge for his thing? Is he like at $5,000 or something?
I have no idea. Yeah, it's something really expensive.
But like, the people that go to his things, they're like really invested in that experience because they paid a lot of money. And I do agree with that, but I think it's also hard initially, because you and I both know when we got started, I mean, not that we didn't have any money to start with, but like, we didn't start for a lot of money. So for me, thinking like, oh, we're going to ask people for a whole lot of money right up front, it's just a hard it's a hard thing to get over mentally. Like, you have to get over that mentally yourself.
You do, but it also helps during the launch process to just really give out a lot of content that's really good and impress the heck out of people.
Yeah, so we agreed on the price after I had a heart attack, and then...
Did we agree on the price? I felt like I...
We didn't, actually, I don't think.
Yeah, I felt like I forced issue, and you're like, okay, this is on you if it doesn't sell.
Or, if it totally flops, it's your fault. but I agree with you, and I think... Like, I looked, I think I told you the other week that we have 100 and some videos in the course right now. Plus, we have PDFs, we've had experts on. When I look at that today, I wish I would have had that when I got started 15 years ago, right? I wish I would have paid $1,000 to get all that information at my fingertips, right? I would have paid $1,000 just for someone to show me how to install a freaking ConvertKit form. Back when you didn't know anything, like, so when I think about, like, all the value that's in the course, and other, I've taken a couple courses. There are some courses where I pay and I go through the stuff and I'm thinking I'd pay more because the information was so valuable. And I talk about your other course. I mean, I went through your other course before I knew anything about e-commerce, and I've told people all day long, it's worth it just for half the, if you do half the course, you've got your money's worth. So I, looking back on it today, I'm fine with it. But I think part of it was the fact that we hadn't built anything out, which was another.
Can we talk about that? I mean.
We can.
Yeah. So it is very counterintuitive to launch an expensive course with nothing.
Yeah.
And the only reason why, so this is incidentally how I launched my last course, right? I basically launched it with nothing. And some people, and this is my personality really, like if I wait until the entire course is mostly done, then I might never launch it because it's such a daunting task, right? If you think about the class, like my other course has over 300 videos, right? If I thought to myself, even like half of that amount, if I need 150 videos before I launch, that's a very intimidating number. Like I may never get to that. And so I'll just put it off, put it off, put it off, and that'll be the end of it. But when you sell a high ticket item with nothing and you have to promise something, that really kind of gives you a little kick in the butt.
It lights a fire.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I was thinking about, I was trying to think of, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like, I know you're not like a Dave Ramsey like follower or anything, but it kind of reminds me of his whole debt snow, like his method of paying off debt is a little bit counterintuitive where he wants you to pay off the smallest debt first so that you get the win. But yeah. I think it's sort of the same thing mentally where you, if you would have said to me, we're going to make 150 videos and then we're going to launch. I mean, based on the fact that the first three videos took me 2 weeks, we would not have a course today. But to think to myself, okay, I only need to make 7 videos, right? Which is basically what I had to make. It was under 10. That's very doable. That seemed very achievable. And then once we made the 10 videos, and I think I made a bunch and you made a bunch, right? And so then we had like 20 videos that we launched with. That felt like a real accomplishment. And then I was almost proud to launch because I was like, we made it. We made 20 videos because it was hard. Like, not for you because you'd been doing videos for a long time, but for me, making the training videos, I mean, you remember, like, they were, and then I made some and the audio was bad. And you're like, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're going to have to refilm. And I'm like, I'm never talking to you again. And so I think if you haven't done stuff like this before, that is actually tough, right? To do something completely out of your comfort zone until you get comfortable with it. Now it's easy to make a video, but it wasn't easy a year ago.
I think we had completely different thoughts during the content creation process. You were like, great, what an accomplishment. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus, I don't know if I can do this. Because I had to tell you, like, I felt really bad. There was one video I think you had to refilm like 3 times because the audio wasn't good.
It was probably more than that, but
maybe more than that. But I was so terrified of telling you, Tony, I don't know how to tell you this, but you got to refilm this thing again.
Well, and here's the other problem just with me, my personality, is that when I go to film the video, I'm like super high energy. I like pump myself up. I'm listening to like Katy Perry before I film it. And then like when I'm on take 4, I'm like, and today I'm going to show you how to find your niche, you know, because I'm like irritated that I'm on take 4 of this video. So I think it's hard to like carry that energy over take after take after take. Hats off to actors and actresses who do this every day, right? It's tough. But yeah, it was, I remember the one time when you had to tell me the audio was bad, and I think it was my 3rd take and the audio was still bad. And you were like, I don't know how to say this to you. And I was like, then don't say it to me. Just don't say it. Like, let's pretend it's fine. But yeah, anyway.
I think the worst ones for me were the ones we were filming together that we had to do over again.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time I had actually taught something with someone, you know, on the same screen. I mean, in retrospect, it's a great idea because it just makes the whole process a lot more fun. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think it was fun and it made it, well, I think depends. I say pick your partners wisely. But I think because you and I have such different strengths in the content world, that it did make it really fun because we disagreed on a lot of things, but not things that were like super, not things that mattered critically, right? We're not having arguments, but you have a perspective, I have a perspective. So it's almost fun to sort of like, well, this is how I do it and this is how you do it. And I think that made it really interesting because it's not just, because with most things, except for baking bread, which is very, very, you can't do it any other way. Most things with like online content creation, there's a lot of different ways to do it and a lot of different ways that will lead you to success. So that's what that's personally what I like about our course is that we don't just have like a cookie cutter formula. We talk about the different things we've done and we're willing to admit when we were wrong about launching with only two modules and, you know, all those things.
So, I mean, we were very upfront about that. We said, hey, we're launching with very little content, but this will allow you guys as, you know, students to dictate the content. And then we committed to creating, I would say, between 1 and 3 videos per week.
Yeah. So right? I think, well, when we launched, we basically launched, and I think this is smart, and this is something we had an advantage of that not everybody's going to have the advantage of, but we launched basically to your audience that...
Right.
And a lot of people that were in your other course who'd already been asking for this course. So we launched to people that we knew already wanted it. The more important thing in that was that we launched to people who trusted you to create the content.
Right.
So there wasn't, we didn't have to really overcome that factor because the people had already been in your course and they knew your other course and they knew you. And I think that's a huge benefit that I don't want to gloss over because not everybody has that. And so we did have that advantage when we launched.
But most of the people that signed on that first time were actually people not in my other course too, right?
But they were familiar with you. They knew the podcast or something.
That's correct. Yes, absolutely.
But I think that's the whole point of, you know, it's hard to launch to zero audience, but if you have people that, and you don't have to have a big audience, but if you have people that trust you, because that was the bottom line, is people trusted you. And when you said, this is the course, this is what we're creating, we're committing to doing, you know, 3 videos a week, and we want you to help us, like you want, and we gave them a really good discount, right? We did, I think, almost half off, right, to people that were on your list
initially. No, it was half off to people in the course.
Oh, in your course, okay.
In the other course.
But we still did some kind of discount, I think, to the initial people because we were wanting to build the trust and confidence in them that we would follow through.
Right. Yep.
And we also, I feel like that first group of people, they're still very active. I mean, it's been a year, right? Mm-hmm. And they're so active. I feel like we've gotten to know them. I feel like we delivered on what we promised them and we're continuing to deliver. But I feel like they have helped us build the course and that they are very, sometimes very free with their feedback for us. And but I think it's helpful. They've taken it seriously too, right? They've taken their part seriously too of helping us come up with important topics and things we need to talk about.
So would you recommend people listening to launch a course this way?
Yes. Now okay. I would.
You would? Okay. Would. Even people with your personality?
Yes, because it will send you into full anxiety mode and you will get a lot done.
Okay.
I agree with you and of not creating everything and then launching because we have friends that have created really good stuff, but it hasn't gone, their launches haven't been as successful as they had hoped. And I think it's because it wasn't that they created something that wasn't great, it was they created something that our audience didn't want. Mm-hmm. And so then I almost think like, well, that's a lot of time and effort and sometimes money spent on something that's really quality, but your people just aren't the right people for that right now. And had they done something else that was maybe something different, I don't know, something different, right? They probably would have seen a better success.
It's funny how your mind works. I still remember the launch. I think you would have been happy with like 3 signups or something like that.
I would have. Right? I think I had in my head 5. If we got 5 people, I would feel like, okay, this is good. It's worth it. We can build from this.
Right. I can't remember actually how many we got now, but was it like 50 or something? I can't remember.
It was either 40 or 50. So it was good. Like,
yeah.
And we launched with, okay, so I think this is important too. We launched with a webinar. Mm-hmm. Which was just a straight up, we've changed this now, but we launched with this a straight up, was it a 2-hour webinar, I think? We just did one.
Yes, we just did one. Was it a? Well, it always ends up being 2 hours with you.
Yeah, it's
usually my webinars are like an hour to 90 minutes tops.
We did a 4.5 hour webinar with me and.
Yeah, so we started out with just that one webinar, and then a post-webinar sequence that converted people. And then we found, like, we transitioned over to, like, these week-long challenges where it really gave people a lot more time to get to know us as instructors and also learn a heck of a lot more about, like, the whole process and what they were getting into.
And I think we found, well, I had been doing challenges a little bit differently with my audience, totally unrelated to content, for years. And I knew that they were really effective in basically the community side of it, like driving the conversation, because we would do these webinars and then we would get questions, right? But I think one of the benefits of a course for people, their customers, is that there's a community there, right? There's people to support you. I think that community aspect can be overlooked sometimes. And I think for people to stay and become successful in the course, the community aspect has to work. With the one and done webinars, you don't have any community. I mean, people maybe chat back and forth in the comments a little bit, but it's not the same as when we do now that we do the week long or the 4 day challenges. People are chatting back and forth in the comments. They're saying hello to each other. They're chatting in that we created a Facebook group for that. So they're chatting in the Facebook group. And then when they transition, if they decide to purchase the course, they already have friends, because actually what's funny is our current course members also join us in the webinars sometimes, which I love. And so the people that are new to the course don't feel like the newbie because they've already have like these friendships already built. I mean, they're online, but they're still friendships where they come in and I feel like I think everybody needs a quick win to be successful. So that's their quick win, right? They built the friendships. They don't feel like they're new. They feel like they know us really well. They've seen us for 4 days in a row and they come in and then they come into the paid Facebook group and it's like, oh, hey, here's all my people that I've already interacted with for a week.
Do you want to kind of explain what the difference between a challenge is, just in case people don't know exactly what it is?
Sure. So for us, we run a challenge where we basically have a topic. The one we've been running lately has been, you know, how to get started, right? How to start building a website, creating content. And we have 4 days. The topics are different every single day. When people join the challenge, it's totally free. They sign up. They get in that email sequence. So they're getting emails every day with additional information. And then we also have a Facebook group that we just open for the challenge. So it opens on like a Sunday and it closes on a Saturday or something like that. And so throughout the week, we use the Facebook group primarily as a place to answer questions and keep people engaged. And what's nice about doing it that way, as opposed to doing it via email, which is what we did initially, is that a lot of people have the exact same questions. I mean, we get the same 10 questions every time. What's nice in the Facebook group is people will ask those questions and then we can get in there and answer them, or someone else comes in there and answers them for us. And then the next time someone asks that question, they don't always ask it because it's already in there and they found it. So for us, the challenge, it lasts 4 days. We have the group, everything's free. And then once the challenge ends, we hit them pretty hard with a post-purchase or a post-webinar sequence where they are then, we give them a couple success stories. We give them, what else goes in there? Resources. We have a 40-page PDF that they get with all
the
information.
Which is crazy, by the way. It took you a long time to create that,
baby. It took me a long time. But we give them that. So we try to, like, once again, with everything that we do, we over-deliver, right? So this is something that's totally free for people, and we provide them all this extra information in hopes that, I mean, our goal is, I mean, obviously we don't do these for fun. We do this, we want people to come into the course. But at the same time, we've had people who did the webinar or do the challenge like 2 times and then they join the course, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it takes people a little bit of time to warm up. But I think every time we have a touch point with them is another sort of vote for us to do for them to come join us in the course.
I mean, I've had people join my other class after like 2 or 3 years of watching webinars and challenges. I mean, it just takes time sometimes, especially for a higher ticket item.
Even though I don't love going live every single night for a week, I mean, it's tiring, even though I like doing these things. I do feel like the relationships are so much better at the end of the week than they are just when we do the 2 hour, 1 day webinar.
I mean, here's one of the reasons why I wanted you in this class is because you do a really good job with the community and really getting to know everybody. And this is just a skill that I'm not as good at. And so, I mean, just to be really frank, I guess, about it. So that's why I think it's very important that you have this Facebook group so other people can interact, you can interact with people as well. Because it really adds a lot to your progress as well and your motivation.
Yeah, and I think for anybody thinking about creating a course, unless you're doing a, like we talked about before, you know, how to grow fall vegetables or something like that, right? Like a very specific, like, you know, it's $29 price point, $47 price point, which those are fine. Those are nice, like one and done, set it and forget it type things. But if you're thinking about doing a higher ticket item, you have to build that community factor in. And if you don't, you're kind of going to wither. Right? That's how I sort of view it. For you, I know before you went to the Facebook group, you had forums and you always have had your lives where people can chat in the chat box below when you're doing your video. But I think that component is just so critical for people to have success. And we have people, I don't know, this is probably not a good thing, but we have people that are in the course that show up every week that haven't done a dang thing. But
they just want to hang out. Yeah.
But they want the community, right? And I think eventually they're going to, I mean, I think there's a lot of things wrapped up in it. It might be their current job situation. They're unable to do something, or maybe they're just not ready, or they have a fear, whatever it is, right? I don't want to diagnose people, but I do think that that factor is so important for people. And eventually, whenever they do something, they have 500 cheerleaders, right? Or however many people are in the group, like cheering them on because they've built these relationships over, for your other course, 9 years. How many people who joined your course initially, your e-commerce course, are still like, do you still hear from?
I just heard from someone the other day. He actually was on the 5-minute pitch. He made it really mm-hmm. close to the finals, and he just gave me a status update, like out of the blue.
So I think that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
To, you know, still keep in touch with people almost 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought it was funny that I realized that I took your course 5 years ago.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Course. I know.
It's like when we first met.
I know. It was so long ago.
And look where we are now.
I know. Okay. So going back to, we launched, we had 2 modules finished. I think we had 2.5 because I was like towards the end, I was just creating lessons.
Yeah, you were trying to cram in that last half. Yeah.
I wanted to feel better about myself. That's totally what it was about. I was like, I can do a lesson on creating a table of contents. That'll take me 3 minutes. So we did that. We launched. We got 50 or so people in the course. Then we started, you know, we created lessons on our own every week. And then we did our lives, which I think is really clever that you started doing in your other course, was that you do this live lesson that then you add to your repository of lessons. So you're double dipping, kind of.
Which you hate, but yeah.
I don't hate for that.
Okay. All right.
But what I think is interesting is that we just came up on a year, right, of launching. We're almost, I think, at our year anniversary. We're past our year anniversary of the course launch because we launched in October or November.
I thought we launched in November. We're not quite at a year yet.
Okay. Yeah. By the time this launches, it will be.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
But a month ago, we completely redid everything.
Well, that's a strong statement. Well, we decided to rebrand.
We rebranded.
Yeah.
But we redid the syllabus. We took out a few things that we just realized were not really related, not much. But then we added 3 modules, I think. We divided a couple modules into other, like they were too fat. So we, you know, divided them in half. And then we added, I think, 3 other modules
yep.
to the course. And that's my moment of, okay, we did the right thing. Because if we had tried to launch with our 9 modules all filled out, we would have missed the opportunity probably to think about doing it a little bit differently down the road. And it made doing the rebranding really easy because we kind of just, like, as I say, moved the post-it notes around and came up with a new syllabus. And it was pretty, I mean, you did all the tech work, so it probably wasn't seamless, but on regards to like just kind of adding content, it wasn't a huge deal. And people that were already in the course were pretty excited.
Yeah, I mean, the course, our course is like a living document, so to speak. Like the reason for some of those modules is because some of the students in the class were asking for that material.
Right.
And if you guys are interested, if you're listening to this and you're interested in starting your own course, like I'm a firm believer that you should always overdo everything. Like you should look at what's out there and just try to offer a heck of a lot more for what they're paying. And that's the easy way to get customers.
And that's, I think that's the thing that we did, is that we looked at the other courses that were out there, and not just in like the content creation niche. I think we looked at like a variety of different courses. And one of the things that we felt like wasn't done very often was actually showing people step by step how to do something. Mm-hmm. So they would talk about like why Facebook ads are important, right? Why should you do Facebook ads and how they build your business and whatever. But they didn't actually like go in the Facebook ads manager dashboard, business manager dashboard, and show you, hey, this is actually sort of the strategy behind it. This is how you actually find these things. This is how you get your pixel, whatever it was. And I think that's the one thing that we've decided to focus on, right? Because I do think you have to have something in your course that you focus on, that you make a priority. And for us, the priority is like, we're not just going to talk like in theory about these things. We're going to show you exactly how we're doing them ourselves. And if it's something we're not doing, we'll have someone on. I mean, yeah. I think it was it Laurie? We had Laurie Hies from Passionate Penny Pincher on, who's a Facebook just genius, like organic Facebook. And she went into her Facebook dashboard and showed people all the little tricks she uses to figure out what to talk about, right?
Yep.
Which most people aren't going to do. So that for us, that was our differentiator, which I think is important. People have to have that.
Also, the term I like to use is get your hands dirty. A lot of other courses, they'll give you the high level, but they won't actually tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
And because both Tony and I, we do everything ourselves. Like we'll literally go into, and I'm technical too, so I know the code behind it. So in case you're even curious, I can go behind like the theory and everything in terms of exactly where to click and what does what. I feel like a lot of the other courses don't really go into that much depth. So that's what we wanted to do with ours.
Yeah. And I think when you're thinking about doing a course, you have to find whatever that is. It might not be that. It might be a different way that you teach, or maybe, I don't know. I mean, nowadays this doesn't work as well, but like people that would actually have live, like in-person things, right? Where maybe that's your differentiator. But I think you have to find something that sets you a little bit apart from your competition so that when people are, because people are going to compare your product to someone else's.
Right.
Right. It's just like if you were selling, a shirt, a decorative vase, right? They are going to pick what they like the best and what they think is going to give them the best value. I don't know how a vase is actually going to give you any value, but that was the first thing that came to my mind. Definitely a shirt, though. A shirt's going to give you good value. Okay. So today, how do we sell the course?
Yeah. So I always feel like when you're selling a course, you need to have like new leads coming in all the time, right? Otherwise, you're not going to sell any more courses after a certain point. So Tony and I, we created a mini course via email where if people are reading our content or you listen to the podcast, we can point them to basically an email sequence that walks them through the entire process, get them excited about the process, and at the end, give them a little nudge towards our course if they're interested.
And that's one of those things too where I feel like people might get on that funnel and then they might attend a webinar or a challenge and then they might we had someone revisit the funnel the other day because when I looked at why they weren't getting something, it was because they had signed up before or something like that. It was a weird thing. So I think people, and I'm sure you've had that with the other course too, is people like want to go through those emails again because they're good. They're educational. And so now we basically have the funnel that we send people through and we have the live challenges, which there are live, which is a big differentiator as well. We do everything live. And then, we haven't done a webinar in a really long time. We've basically moved to the challenge model, which I think we're probably going to stick with.
I think we're going to stick with the challenge model. It just works so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would say the negative of that lifetime payment or the lifetime, pay once is that you aren't bringing in recurring revenue, right? From students. So you have to be constantly focused on getting new students in the course. So our new channels, what we've, we talked a lot about this actually before we launched. What do we want to do to create the content? Because neither of us really wanted to blog about the content. And not that there's anything wrong with doing that. I think there's probably a lot of advantages to doing content creation about your course. But we kind of decided that what made the most sense was doing YouTube and a podcast to drive people to the funnel.
I mean, we're going to talk about this probably in another podcast episode, but the long-term plan is to create like a really good piece of content and repurpose that content across different channels, essentially.
So we decided to go with sort of the audio video model
right. For
now, and you guys are hearing the podcast side of it right now. So, and the YouTube channel is coming. I know you think YouTube's easier. I think podcast is easier, so...
I think podcast is easier, but it takes longer
to build up the audience.
Not just that, but even just to record one, right?
Well, yeah,
because YouTube's
shorter.
Well, I don't
know. We haven't recorded a YouTube yet.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
You'll be changing your tune.
I might be. I might regret that statement.
Sort of to sum it all up, if you were to do this all over again and you were to launch the course this November, right, as opposed to last November when we launched, what would you do anything different?
I would not do anything different. I did have one last thing to say about just like the lifetime pricing model.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually spoken with several other people who run courses with the membership model. And the main question I always ask them is, what is your lifetime value? Like, how many months do people actually stay on? And I was actually surprised to hear that like the lifetime value of their customers weren't that high in general.
Really? Do you have a number?
Well, so this one person I'm thinking of, their lifetime value was like $400 and they charged like $50 a month.
So they stayed on less than a year.
Yes. And so I would actually just rather have that money up front, knowing what, I mean, you have to make a guess at what your lifetime value is, but I'd rather have that money up front and really give them what it takes to be successful in the long run and not have them have to feel like, you know, okay, I better just get as much as I want and then just quit.
Right.
You know, quit the membership. So
I'm curious just to go back to that, because I think there's two different ways you can do the monthly, right? You can basically have people pay monthly and have most of the content already done. And so people could basically just get as much content as they could in 2 months, right? And then quit. Or, I mean, I think Scott Volker, I'm not in his monthly program, but he has an interesting program in that doesn't he create stuff all the time?
Actually, I don't know what his program is like anymore. I think he's changed things, so I actually don't know anymore.
Okay, because I'm thinking like if you're creating something new all the time, then that's a way to do the monthly and force people to stay in.
That's correct. Right? Yes.
But then at the same time, that like you said before, that puts a ton of pressure on you as a course creator to come up with something amazing, because if you don't have something amazing that month, or you know, you have some life event or you have to move or whatever, right? Like then you're like, well, what am I going to do this month? I don't want to lose half my customers because I'm going to have to recycle something that's an old piece of content or that's just not putting, I mean, because I think at the end of the day, like we're all trying to put out amazing content all the time, but some content's just going to be better than others.
I don't think about it that way, but some content is going to be more relevant to someone at a certain time than others, right?
And you're like, no, all my content's always amazing. There's never a differentiator. But I think there's some weeks where it's like, this was good content. Like, I think of some of the stuff when we get really technical. You did one a couple weeks ago that was site speed. Mm-hmm. And we did a lesson on site speed where it was like boring. I'm not trying to be mean about this, but it wasn't like site speed is not like sexy or, you know, ooh, I can't wait, you know. And it's like, and you have to go in this and do code and you can do this and check this box and do that. And it was super technical, right? And I'm sure in our course, there were a lot of people that were like, dude, I'm still trying to get my header in the center of my website, right? So I think, but like, so you do that lesson, right, in a monthly membership. And half the people are like, I don't even have my site set up, or I'm trying to work on a podcast. And so it's not relevant, or it's just not the right time for them, and you lose them. Whereas in our course, since it's live, since they're stuck with us, basically, you can do that lesson. And if it doesn't really relate to people, they'll just watch it later, and it's no big deal.
Yep.
You did do a good job on the lesson, just to clarify. But I think it keeps you from doing lessons like that are super important for your audience, but yet they're not as interested in it as you think they should be.
Sure. I mean, there was like a lesson that I did a couple of weeks ago in my other course. It was about customer psychology and playing mind games. Everyone loved that one. But yeah, it's hard to constantly put out. I mean, there's a lot of content that it's going to be kind of dry, but necessary, essentially.
Right. And yeah. I think when you have them on that monthly where you need them to pay you every month, then you're not going to necessarily make the best choice for them. You're going to make the best choice for yourself. That can be the problem.
I mean, I see pros and cons either way. And if we want to just kind of like wrap this up, I think when it comes to, these are the things that I believe, and you guys obviously have to work that out for yourself, but I believe that you should launch without the whole course being completed. How much content you choose to launch with is up to you, but I prefer to just launch with like maybe one module. And I am a big believer in the lump sum lifetime model just because I don't like to be nickel and dimed. I just think about how I would like to be treated. Like when I sign up for something, I don't want there to be like this hour countdown timer that's counting down until when I have to pay again. I just want to feel like I can take everything at my own pace, just pay a lump sum, and then you'll be there for me.
Those are your only two philosophies?
Yeah. Did you have another philosophy to add to that? Or?
No, I think I mostly agree with your launch before it's ready. We know people who've launched with nothing and made money.
Right.
But they did launch to a very loyal audience. I would say I wouldn't launch with nothing, but I would launch with the minimum that you need to show people the variety in the course. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted two modules done, because our first module, I think, is a little bit fluffy, but I think it's necessary. The second module is very technical, and I wanted people to see both sides of the course, that like we're going to talk about some of the mindset issues and things like that, but we're also going to do the get your hands dirty stuff. And that's why, to me, the two modules made the most sense, because it gave people the ability to see both of those things right away. Mm-hmm. And not everybody's going to have that in their course, so that, you know, that's something to think about as well. But for me, that's why the two made the most sense. And at the end of the day, like, I like having the one price. It feels better to me, which doesn't, you know, I don't like making decisions off of feelings, but it but when you have to market yourself and sell yourself, because most people aren't very good at selling themselves or their products, I can go and say, this is the price, and I don't feel bad about that. I feel very confident and comfortable in saying, this is what we're charging you. We're never going to charge you anything else ever again. And to me, that feels good. And so I feel like I can market the course better because of that.
And if you're going to do a course and you sincerely want your students to be successful, there has to be a really good support component to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we didn't really cover that, but
maybe a different episode.
Customer services. But I do think in any course that you launch, you need to have some sort of group.
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be fancy.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.